about.
You ready to step into the musical cocoon and emerge a rock and roll butterfly?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
You're not getting the job done in your job. And you're getting paid $1 million to do it. And it's not working.
Leave Donald Trump alone. Leave Donald Trump. Leave him alone.
And the answer that I think I always ask, and I'm sure it can't possibly be this simple, is stop it.
God damn it, Kevin.
And now.
How I would have done it if I was in charge.
Well, how would you have done it?
I don't know. I can't teach how I do it. Can Paul McCartney teach Kid Rock how to be a good songwriter? I mean, that's a bad example. Kid Rock rules, but...
Our feature presentation.
Jonah!
That's from Veep, one of our favorite shows. It's not our favorite show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, and it is the 19th of May.
What's up, you guys?
Hi, Bean.
You know, hanging and begging like we do.
You said that with a tone in your voice, Allie, as if you're visiting me in the hospital and you're trying to put on a brave face. Yeah. because I'm going down.
Don't let him know he's about to die. Just
right. Hi, Bean.
There was a weird tone, wasn't
there? Yeah, there was more sympathy in that.
It's going to be okay, is what it meant.
Bean's already been through a lot this morning.
He?
Yeah.
I have. We all have. America all has. Yeah. I would have rather been on that plane than dealing with Omar for the last 20 minutes. Oh, my God. He's exhausting.
Yeah.
Omar's one of those guys, and maybe you, the K-Rock listener, has somebody like this at work who delights in annoying his coworkers.
He nailed it this morning.
It just makes his day. Like, as soon as you start being grouchy, that's fuel on the fire for him.
Right.
Yeah. It's on.
He is. There he is. That's our man. That's Omar. Hey, I'm having a nervous breakdown, by the way.
Okay.
You know that my kryptonite is, and maybe we should save this for later, but you know that my kryptonite is customer service phone calls.
Yes.
Is having to get on the phone and go and wade through the menus and get transferred and talk to people and try to get something accomplished.
Super frustrating.
Right.
And yesterday, I need coping skills. And maybe this is what we need to address at some point with the listeners, because I need some coping skills because it's too much. It's beating me down.
What are you talking about? It's super frustrating at the most.
Right.
Yeah, but remember he wept last
time. I didn't cry yesterday, but it was close. It was close.
Cry.
I mean, because you get transferred to people, and then they have no idea who you are, what you're trying to do, and they're not the right department anyway, and then they transfer you to someone else, and, we don't handle that here, but, no, that's not us. We're the billing department. Let me transfer. Oh, no, we only do California. I mean, it was like one thing right after another. It was like I was on a prank show, and they were trying to break me.
That would be so great if they were filming you. That would have been so great.
I need coping skills is what I'm saying.
Is there anyone else that can do this for you?
No.
No, yeah. Bean should do it. Here's the thing. It's going to suck.
Yeah.
So you'll be all right.
But I spent like 3 hours trying to accomplish a thing yesterday, and I still haven't accomplished it. I have to do it again today.
Right.
That happens
to everybody that has to do those things.
So how do they deal with it?
They just accept the fact that it sucks.
Well,
you just accept that. So today for 3 hours, your life is going to suck.
I can't even, though, you guys.
Maybe have some cookies or something.
See, those are the kinds of tips I'm looking for.
Yeah,
oh, I see.
I'm not bringing
the empathy like
that.
Not even a bit.
No, okay. No.
I need something to make it manageable, make it palatable. Mm-hmm. You know, some sort of a mental trick or something. Some sort of a reward at the end of, each hour or, a schedule where I get to go outside.
Put on one of your favorite movies or something so you could be watching something while you're waiting.
What about sipping some Sizzurp?
Oh, that's the answer.
Sizzurp does make everything better.
Right?
Yep. It'll calm you right down?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know how you are with the Sizzurp.
So Sizzurp is the answer.
All right. Maybe that's the answer.
Yeah. Imagine being the customer service person on the other end of the line with scissor bean.
Sir, please speed it up.
And you feel like, and tell me if this is wrong, because I don't want to get into this now.
Well, then stop. Stop getting it. You've been getting into it for 10 minutes now.
When you get to your fifth person.
Yes.
Right. Let me ask this question. This is a legitimate question. When you get to your fifth person, is it worth mentioning to them, hey, I've already been on the phone for an hour and a half. Hey, I've already talked to four other people. Hey, here's what's already happened that hasn't worked or didn't have any kind of a payoff. Or is that person now on the defensive because you're piling on? Not in a mean way, because I don't blame anybody for what happened prior to that. But do you even bring up all the things that you've already been through? Or does that get that relationship with the new person off to a bad start?
Do you want the milk and cookies answer from Allie, or do you want the actual
truth? I want the real answer.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
So but what if he starts with this? I know it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
But I've already talked to and then list the people, because I always write the person's name down. Like, thanks so much for your help, Jim. I talked to Jim in accounting. I talked to this person. I talked to this person.
Yeah, if you're not attacking. Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Not attacking. But they nobody knows anybody, because it's AT&T. So that, you know, I talked to five different states yesterday, and of course they don't have any idea who.
Yeah,
the
you're going to have to start from scratch with every person,
with
and
every
that sucks
person,
even
which is
more.
Crazy.
Yeah. But if the guy comes on the line and says, "How can I help you?" and you go, "Sir, just tell us what's going on." Is this news service or existing service, or what is it that you need?
How are you able to tape my calls yesterday? That's uncanny.
Here's the thing. It's weird to me that you just won't accept that sucks, because everybody else goes through it, and it sucks for everybody, and and that's just life.
Well, I started by saying that's my kryptonite, though.
Yeah.
That's my weak spot. Look, there are other things that I do that are unpleasant that I handle fine that might be somebody else's, you know, Achilles heel. This is just my thing. And I went into it with a good attitude, like, all right, I know this is going to suck, but I just have to get through it. But that wears down in hour three, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
You really do. You start to lose it. So
it's a control thing, Bean. You're not in control.
That is a lot of it. And also, Bean works very, very logically. So to him, it doesn't make sense that the fourth person doesn't have all of the information leading up to it. And that does make sense, but it's just not going to
happen. All right, I'm going to try milk and cookies today, though. I think that's my answer.
Okay. Scissor tomorrow.
Oh, and scissor, if I can't finish it today, then yes.
I'd say milk and cookies for an hour, and then you might need to go right to the heavy hitter.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, all right. Hour two, it's scissor.
This has been helpful, guys. Thank you.
Okay.
I feel better.
Bean.
Thank you.
Happy to help. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
That's amazing. Wow, it takes the words out of my mouth. I'm like, wow.
Right. Dr. Drew's on the program today.
Yeah, he is.
Did you guys hear that magic mushrooms are being used for depression?
Really?
Okay, that's it. Sounds like good news.
Jim Rome talking sports like we do on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about office etiquette, unless we need to help hold Bean's hand and get him through this situation. Not sure yet. We have a lot of stuff to deal with here at the station with people who work here, perhaps. We have Brad Williams, comedian, in studio. Got another Showtime special. We have tickets for The Cure on today's show. We have tickets for Blink-182 on today's show.
Wow.
And we have Seth Rogen from Neighbors 2. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour.
Excellent
That's
show.
Pretty good, right? And this. So we'll take a break and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
What does Travis Barker have to say about Blink-182 coming to town the end of September, early October? Three big shows going on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. We'll talk to him next here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Come on, Ralph.
I'm still in the band, and we might make more music soon.
Nope. I don't think that's the deal.
That's not the news.
Oh, that does
seem to be on his own on that.
That was the news.
Feeling.
No, that's not the news.
I got some news for you.
Yeah.
This Prophets of Rage thing we're all watching so very, very carefully.
Yes.
This countdown clock.
Right.
At prophetsofrage.com. What will it be? What's happening? Well, we know a little bit more today. Apparently, Rage Against the Machine is not reuniting and going out on tour with Public Enemy. That's what we know is not going to happen. What it is, apparently, is an amalgamation, a blending, if you will. A new supergroup featuring...
Aaron from Stained.
No. Featuring Tom Morello.
Uh-huh.
Fred Durst.
From Rage. Tim Comerford. And Brad Wilk of Rage.
So right. That's three-fourths.
Good. That's three out of the four.
So now we're almost at Audio Slave.
We'll be entering into a new venture with Chuck D., a Public Enemy, and Cypress Hill's Be Real. And that group together will form Prophets of Rage, and they will be...
Awesome.
Awesome. And touring, making its live debut June 3rd at the Hollywood Palladium, with another show ready to be announced for L.A.'s Whiskey A Go-Go. So, Kevin, when you get to the Roxy,
yes,
you need to remember.
What do I do then?
You need to call Uber back and say, I'm at the wrong place. Where's everybody?
First, I need to spend about 20 minutes being really angry
at looking around.
Oh, my God, these people are all late.
You'll know.
Idiots.
So there also may be a full tour this summer. So there you go. There's your Prophets of Rage update.
Look, that's a great lineup.
Yes, it is.
A great bill and a fun night. It's still a little disappointing that it's not what we hoped. But
since Rage is not going to play,
right? Still good news.
This is great.
Yeah, and anytime you can see Tom Morello play guitar, it's a good night.
Right,
right.
Kevin, you've seen Be Real.
I have.
With them, and you said it was incredible.
It was fantastic because they did. He came out on our last show at Olympic Auditorium, mm-hmm. and he was great. And I was like, you know what? I love Zach, but if Zach's not going to do it, I would have been fine with Be Real. It sounded
that's
great.
A perfect fit.
I like it.
Can't wait.
More music news. I always feel bad when artists get ripped off. Alanis Morissette apparently is the latest victim of a shady business manager. She's claiming now that she got ripped off for $4.7 million. Filed papers Tuesday against a guy named Jonathan Schwartz and his business management company. They handled her money from 2009 until March of this year when Alanis kept asking them questions about her finances and they refused to answer. And then when her new business manager went to research what had happened, they found 116 cash transfers from her account directly to this dude, Jonathan Schwartz, over a four-year period, adding up to more than $4.7 million.
Ouch.
So Alanis is asking for more than $15 million in damages to get the money back, as well as some punitive damages. So this is going to court, and it's probably going to be a long and messy process, but I hope she wins. So, look, it just proves that you ought to know what people are doing with your money.
I just beat out the fire.
When people
open
have control
up.
Of your money, you know. Isn't it ironic that her current business manager was the one who was able to find out the shady goings-on of the previous business manager? It's business manager on business manager crime right there. So.
Oh, I hate that guy right there.
Come on.
Right.
Alex, thought we were pals.
The guy's on fire with sniveling evil.
That's just, true.
That ain't right.
He's committed to Satan.
Well, that much you have, true. Deidre Hall. Deidre Hall. Beloved soap opera star Deidre Hall.
Marlena.
Marlena, exactly.
What show?
Days of Our Lives.
All right.
She's been on for a long time on that show. She's off and on. But best known for that. I always remember her as Electra Woman. Remember Electra Woman and Dinah Girl?
Sure.
Electra Woman and Dinah Girl, stopping all evil deeds.
Nope.
Both writes for a magazine, hiding the life she leads.
Tenacious D.
No, but I like it.
Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. I'm going to have to get that theme in here next hour.
Please.
It's pretty spectacular. She's getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11.
She's a big...
No, she is not. She's a lovely lady.
Wow, okay.
You know, I did Days back in the formative years of my failed acting career.
Really?
Yeah.
You did Days of Our Lives?
I did Days.
Really?
Who were you?
This was the arc where Deidre was shipwrecked with John Black.
You're making stuff up now, right?
Oh, no, this is real.
Okay.
And I believe he helped her escape from being, she was trapped, being held captive in a freighter. And he picked her up by helicopter, but the helicopter crashed on an island, a deserted island. And they're walking through the jungles. And what are the odds? On the other side of the island was a beautiful 5-star resort. And I was the manager of that resort. Welcome, was one of my lines.
I like it.
Yeah.
So, well, you're very convincing.
And she was lovely. She was a lovely lady. And so Deidre Hall will be getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30 a.m. right in front of Easttown at 6201 Hollywood Boulevard. If you're a fan of that show and her long time on Days, then maybe you want to stop by and give her a
love. She's asking you to reunite and
I am
speak
not
at the ceremony?
On her behalf. No, well, no. Another actress named Susan Seaforth Hayes, who has been on that show for 40 years, will be speaking at the ceremony.
So. That's a reasonable second choice.
I don't know. I was pretty convincing as the manager of the hotel.
How many soap operas are still on network television, Ralph? It's dwindled down to just a couple, right?
Two or three, yeah. I don't even know if... I don't think General Hospital's on anymore.
I don't think so either.
I think, so.
I think they're on a cable network called Soap or something. I think they're still making new episodes, but I don't think they're on network.
Hmm.
Days is still on. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of daytime TV, so I'm not sure.
Same.
Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Sam Smith. He is 24 years old today.
Oh, having that horrible voice and all.
Yeah, it's a pretty
poor
voice,
bastard.
Isn't it? Another pretty voice, Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca.
Aww.
He's
Happy
72
birthday,
years old.
Chewy.
Did they still make him get in the suit at 72 with his bad knees and all? Is he still doing that?
I believe
it's like torture for a man of his age, right?
He was.
But he's got a hair color
for Force Awakens. Yeah,
yeah. That's not right. Can't they find another tall dude?
But
what's,
I think
what's
he Manute
Bol doing these days.
He wants to do it, though.
I know he does, but still, sit down, Peter. Take a rest. Take a load off.
He deserves it, right?
Yeah, hell yeah. He's got nothing to prove. And UFC fighter Georges St-Pierre
George
is
St. Pierre.
35.
Georges St-Pierre.
I'm looking at it. That can't be right.
GSP.
He goes by GSP.
It's Georges St. I don't even know
GSP.
How. That's not even a name.
Saint.
Stands for Saint.
Pyrie.
Pierre.
Georges Pyrie.
GSP.
35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to talk to actor Seth Rogen, the star of Neighbors 2, coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on KREC. First, though, am I late to the party on Michelle Obama is a man? I always thought she was a woman and very attractive one at that, but apparently she is a dude.
Where are you getting your information? Because it sounds like maybe that is bogus.
Alex Jones from Infowars.com, Kevin, the same guy who warned us that the government was weaponizing our television sets. Remember?
Yeah. Maybe you should find a second source.
Same guy who told us that all of our waters were being poisoned, all of us were being force-fed dangerous vaccines. This is Alex Jones. I feel like we were late to the party on Alex Jones, too, by the way.
Well, he's been on the radio forever, right?
Forever, yes. But I have become just in love with his video series. And the new one is, yes, that Michelle Obama is a man. And President Obama is, he's obsessed with transgenders. And I think that's where all this is coming from, by the way, is this is Alex Jones' way of pushing back about Barack Obama being, in his view, on the wrong side of the transgender bathroom issue. So the president is obsessed with transgenders. That's why he's married to a man. And, oh, yeah, they killed Joan Rivers for threatening to expose the truth about it.
What?
Wait, what?
Well, let's see what Alex Jones has to say.
Right. And we've had doctors on about this. Her shoulders are too wide. She's on, like, the 100th percentile of women, okay, with her body type. Her arms, everything. She always has this pooch. She's wearing either a codpiece or has genitalia. Okay?
Oh, now, God. Okay.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
What?
Now, I would listen to this, by the way, but just based on this is absurd.
I believe every
I
word of it.
Crazy people.
How dare you?
Wow.
By the way, isn't her, I mean, her body is a woman who is in incredible shape,
incredible
right?
shape. She works out like a demon,
right.
Alex Jones.
All right, let's see what
demons work out
she
like.
She looks yeah. like a man. Like, dude looks like a lady. Lady looks like a dude.
Why are you singing?
What?
And, I mean, I'm sorry. It's true. You ran for office. You are the co-president that tells kids what lunch to eat around the country because you're God.
What?
Obama is obsessing, saying he'll sue Texas, sue North Carolina if we don't teach five-year-olds how to be trying to sexually confuse kids.
Right.
What?
And you're fair game. And don't forget the famous comedian Joan Rivers said, of course everyone knows she's a and she's dead serious. Yeah, she's a man. Deader than a doornail in a routine operation where basically she had fire poured down her throat, was a fire-breathing goblin. Dead on arrival. Shoot your mouth off, honey. You will die. Liberal.
Okay. All right. Maybe I missed some of that. So we asked Dave if there's any way we can get Mr. Jones back on the phone. And here he is, Alex Jones from Infowars.com on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Hi, Alex.
I don't think you missed anything. I think you finally have the truth, and that's why it's hard for you to deal with.
But what's your proof that the Obamas had anything to do with killing Joan Rivers? It was a mistake during surgery. They weren't involved.
A routine surgery that no one in the world would die from. And then suddenly she's dead, conveniently after making a joke about how Michelle Obama was, in fact, a man. Let's face facts here, people. Are you opening your eyes? Or are you keeping them closed and have your face dipped in the Kool-Aid?
Michelle Obama's not a man.
Of course she is. Look at her body type. It's impossible. We've had doctors on to talk about this. There's no way you could have a body like that and still be a woman. It's just scientifically impossible.
I don't think broad shoulders and actually toned arms means you're a man.
Well, someone better check your underwear then, Missy, because maybe you're hiding a secret as well.
Let's face it,
Obama is pushing this transgender agenda. He has to because he's married to one, and she is telling him how to be. And let's face it, that White House garden of hers, that's where she grows the red algae. The red algae that she will feed people, which reverses all the chromosomes. They want a transgender nation, my friends. They would like to have a homogenized, socially irrelevant, transsexual, trans-race group of people living in the United States of America. They want to turn us into one sex and one race.
Now, are you guessing that based just on looking at her?
Of course not. I'm not guessing it. These are facts. Why don't you look into it? The red algae that she feeds us will turn all of our chromosomes backwards. Men will be women. Women will be men. And we will eventually all become an orange race. No more black. No more white. Just orange.
Wait,
okay. It's no coincidence that Hi-C Ecto Cooler is back. It is an orange drink that when you drink it will in fact turn you orange. This is the second in the Cheetos operation. The covert NSA Cheetos operation, which began turning our fingers orange, and now Hi-C Ecto Cooler will finish the job.
I do love Cheetos.
Of course you do. It's an addictive property to make you an orange, transgender, polymorphous confluence of sex drones that eventually will be digging the tunnel from California to Cuba.
Wait, now we're going to Cuba?
You lost me there with the tunnel.
We're doing a tunnel,
Emory. Transgender confluence of sex drones will be used as workers to dig the tunnel from California to Cuba. That's why we're having all this seismic activity. Do you think the Earth's plates are really shifting?
Yes.
No, they're digging a giant tunnel from California to Cuba.
For what?
Because that's how they're going to get the polar bears in.
Polar bears? And which direction are the polar bears going? Toward California or toward Cuba?
Look at the footage. It's all over the internet. Polar bears are swimming for the first time en masse. Polar bears are not indigenous to this country. They're like palm trees. Not indigenous. Brought to you by the settlers. The polar bears will be brought through the tunnel from Cuba to California, and that's where they'll begin the polar bear overlords to do their liberal bidding. And by the way, what do polar bears eat? That's right, penguins. No one is talking to the penguins.
Okay, all right. Alex, why are you the only one who sees these things? Where's your scientific backup on these theories?
Because I'm aware that all the culture warriors are dressed as traffic cones and following me around as I drive my car. And let's face it, I'm not eating the pumpkin spice because that's how they track us.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, that's tough to argue with.
All right, I'll see you when you're an orange transgender.
Okay.
You're not Seth Rogen. You're supposed to be Seth Rogen. What happened?
I'm not as Seth Rogen as you were hoping.
So much less Seth Rogen.
Right. Producer Dave says Mr. Rogen is suddenly unavailable. So he is filming an action scene, as we once were told by a star.
Not my fault.
I got something I want to ask you guys.
Yes.
And maybe I'm Kevin, you might be the right person to ask this question.
You've never said that before in your entire life.
Very nervous.
What's going on with the people who cannot be away from their telephones for even a minute? They nonstop are on their phones. Even if they're doing something else, they are also one eye on their phone. Have you seen that?
No, not to that extent.
Really?
I mean, you're on your phone a lot, but I haven't seen anybody that can't get off of it.
Allie, do you know anybody who is addicted?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's it like for them?
They're insane about it. And this person has a very high-powered job and obviously has to look at their phone quite a bit. But
right.
It gets to the point where you're having a conversation and they should be paying attention to you because you're pouring your heart out about something. And they're like, hold on one sec. And they'll try and do it kind of covertly. They are staring at their phone. They're checking their email. They're responding to people. It's Kevin's doing it right now. Ship is doing it right now. Well, you were evil.
People do this.
Is part of it, is this just an accelerated modern day version of the fear of missing out? Like, what's going on right now on the internet that I want to or need to know about? And if I don't, if I'm not on it every 60 seconds, something might happen without me.
Did you guys see this weather person that got blown around like a sock in the wind?
We're talking about
9 mile per hour.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking about. We
saw it, but we're talking about something else right now, Kevin.
Okay, sorry.
So the reason I bring all that up is to say this story that I saw out of Saudi Arabia. Look, if there's 1 minute to put your phone down, maybe it's when you get back to your wedding suite on your wedding night. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just maybe, like, that's an exception where you go, you know what? The rest of the world can wait. I got some business to take care of right now. Here's the headline. Newlywed husband divorces his wife hours after the ceremony because she was too busy sexting her friends to have sex on their wedding night.
Well, that's a little different than just being on her phone.
Sexting her friends? What does that even mean?
Did I say sexting? I'm sorry. Texting her friends.
Oh.
You said texting. Texting.
I'm sorry. That would be completely different.
That would be very bad.
That's somebody who's already decided it's not going to work out. No, she was too busy texting her friends to have sex. I transposed there on their wedding night.
Here's my question about that. That girl didn't just start doing that
night.
Not
new.
She's been doing that the entire time he knew her.
A husband divorced his wife hours after the wedding. She was too busy texting her friends to consummate the marriage. The groom took his Saudi bride back to their hotel room after the ceremony in the city of Jeddah. But when he tried to get intimate with her, he was pushed away by his new wife because she was trying to respond to congratulatory messages from her friends on her phone. She became angry when he asked her to stop. A relative said to the press, the groom tried to get closer with her and more intimate, but he was shocked when she ignored him, not responding to his words and action. When he asked her if her friends were more important than he was, the bride answered, yes, they are.
Wow, that's the wrong answer. Lie.
The argument became heated, and the groom stormed out of the hotel, telling his wife that he wanted a divorce. I mean... Like Kevin said, this isn't the first time she was obsessed with her phone, certainly.
No.
But I guess it just, I don't know, I guess it just hurt his feelings at that time. It was wrong place, wrong time to be a little open-minded about that. I guess. Maybe.
Honestly, I don't know anybody that's that crazy with the phone. But I don't have any friend that can't take 30 seconds or a minute or whatever to talk to you. That's just absurd.
We were talking to somebody this week, either on or off the air, I don't remember, about how if you look at if you're out at a restaurant, take a look at the tables around you and see how many people are sitting with each other but are also one or both on their phones.
Yeah. When I see people at dinner with the phone sitting on the table, come on. I understand if maybe your child is sick, you're at dinner or something. An emergency type of thing. But when you go to a restaurant and look around and almost every table has a phone on it, that's absurd.
That's what's happening. That's for sure. So this lady, though, that's even a step beyond that, right?
Well,
Hey, honey, it's our wedding night. Yeah, I know. I just want to send these.
Congratulations. Thank you so much. I'm very happy.
Just seems like she made out of it.
That's a girl that did not want to have sex with him.
Absolutely.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
I'm texting my friends.
By the way, girl that doesn't want to have sex with him is just another word for wife, right?
I mean, not for most people.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought that's how it was.
No.
Hey!
Zero for everything.
I love her.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
Thursday morning means we talk sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up at 8 o'clock. Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program for his weekly visit. And our old friend Brad Williams returns. He's got a brand new Showtime special. He'll be in studio with us next hour. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Well, we finally know all the details behind the Prophets of Rage that everyone's been talking about. Of course, prophetsofrage.com went up on Tuesday. It was a countdown clock. Hashtag take the power back. Everyone was speculating, oh, are Public Enemy and Rage going to go on tour together? Is this going to be a big event? Well, it turns out it's going to be a big super group. Billboard.com says this is about Tom Morello, Tim Comerford, and Brad Wilk of Rage teaming up with Chuck D of Public Enemy and Cypress Hill's Be Real. Nice. They're going to form a group called, as you can guess, the Prophets of Rage, and they will do songs from all three groups while on tour.
It sounds awesome.
Those sound are three great catalogs, man.
Yep.
Yeah, they can do a lot of damage with those songs. The band will make its live debut on June 3rd at the Hollywood Palladium. And then another show, they say, is ready to be announced for L.A.'s Whiskey-A-Go-Go, and there may be a full tour this summer. So, a lot of great music from those three bands you'll be able to hear from Prophets of Rage.
Why do you guys think, and I know I'm, this is one of my famous questions that causes for what? Speculation.
How come, what is, Zach?
How come
Zach,
maybe you guys aren't the right people to ask this, but what color socks does Zach wear most? Do you think white?
What do you think, Kevin? You're the Rage man. One of the biggest...
Hey, I resent that.
One of the biggest, most successful K-rock bands of all time. He walked away from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of money on the table. He's got very talented people to work with. They could make great music together. What do you suppose keeps him out of the studio with them?
Don't know. I don't know. He just doesn't want to do it.
Nobody has said anything about there being some sort of personal dispute between them. It's not like this is an Axl Slash type feud where they hate each other. I
think he's just not interested. That's it's weird. It's weird that way.
He made so much money with Rage, he was just willing to essentially just retire and just sometimes live a comfortable life doing nothing.
But what's he do?
What does he do is my question, exactly.
Look, he's done a whole solo album that then he didn't release that people have heard and said that was great.
Maybe he's just making music, just kind of sitting on it, just doing what he wants.
Yeah,
on his own timetable,
messing around, doing what he wants.
I guess there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, but he made that one album. That was 1 year of the last 16. Rest of the time?
I don't know. He comes out with Run the Jewels. He does songs with them. I think he just, I don't know. He's just not interested. It's a bummer.
Likes being retired, maybe.
Yeah, it's a bummer, but this is going to be great. I can't wait.
I think maybe, this is just a guess, the water-fueled propulsion engine.
That's what he's working on?
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
Okay, I hadn't heard that.
Combustion engine that runs solely on water.
Well, that would be great.
Right?
What?
That's what I'm guessing.
Okay. That's what happens.
Look, if Bean can just ask random questions, I can just give random answers.
That's true.
Thank you.
That is true.
All right. A lot of people upset. Their beloved Limitless has been canceled. The CBS series has finally been canceled by the network. But don't give up. Because, as you know, we live in a day and age where nothing ever dies.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the show is being shopped around to other outlets. Could be Netflix. Could be Hulu. Could be CBS All Access. CBS's new video on demand service.
The Amazon?
Maybe it might be Amazon. It can end up somewhere else. So I know a lot of fans with Limitless were upset yesterday when the news broke, but
I like that
don't
show.
Give up. I never saw an episode. Again, it's not any sort of judgment call on its quality. I just don't simply have time to watch all the things I'd like to watch.
Certainly. True.
And sometimes I do have time for like an episode, but then I say, why watch and get invested on something that I wouldn't have time to keep up with on a regular basis?
But The Flash.
But Flash, right? Now you know what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Right. So now I'm thinking.
Wow.
Now I'm thinking as I look back on the season.
Yes.
Now I think we know who the man in the Iron Mask is.
Yep. Right?
Right?
Don't pretend you're watching.
Don't act like you know what's going on.
Felt good for a second.
I'm just saying.
Nice to be one of the cool kids.
Not Turd Ferguson, no. But think about it. Think about it. Earth 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Farrah Abramson?
Yes, Farrah Abramson. You can tell from the giant fake boobs under the Iron Mask suit of clothing.
Alexander the Great.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, Deidre Hall is getting her star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame today. Beloved soap opera actress. I spent many years as Marlena Evans on Days of Our Lives. Getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame at 6201 Hollywood Boulevard. If you're a Days fan, you want to check it out. She'll be there being honored. And I mentioned earlier that I know her best as Electra Woman.
Sure.
From Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. A beloved superhero television series that was on Saturday mornings back in the day. All the kids would get to watch. You know who created it? Sid and Marty Croft.
Ah.
Your buddies, the Croft brothers. They created a Batman and Robin-esque superhero team made of a woman, Electra Woman, and Dinah Girl. And it's getting rebooted online. They're going to do it with a couple YouTube stars. Anyway, I was mentioning how great the theme song is, so here's a little taste.
Electra Woman and Dinah Girl, fighting all evil deeds. Each writes for a magazine, hiding the life she leads.
Yeah.
Laurie and Judy dare to face any criminal anywhere.
This is one of those theme songs that tells you the whole story of the show before you get to it. It runs for about 5 minutes. We don't need to listen to the whole thing, but it's like, and then they put their boots on and they put on a big cape. And it really tells you everything you need to know about the character. Very, very entertaining. Today's celebrity birthdays: Peter Mayhew. Chewbacca himself is 72. Georges St. Pierre celebrates his 35th birthday. And Sam Smith is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We're giving away tickets for The Cure. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number if you want to call right now. We're going to play a game called El Culo.
Nope.
El Curo.
That's what we're going to play.
Yep.
Sure. Cure fans.
El Curo.
Cure only, please. 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to win. Don't say that again ever, Kevin. Coming up next on Cure Rock.
The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl this Tuesday night, you guys. They're playing Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. We're giving away tickets to their final night in town for you right now at 1-800-520-1067. Believe it or not, The Cure, been a very popular band for decades now. A lot of cover versions of Cure songs.
Sure.
Some of them are in Espanol, and that's why we present for you El Curo.
Hola, mi amigos y amigas. Hoy vamos a jugar un juego que se llama El Curo. Donde estos dos idiotas, Kevin y Frijol, van a tocar música, música, música de El Curo. Pero todas las canciones van a ser en español. Solamente necesitamos el nombre de la canción. Y tú tal vez puedes ver El Curo at the Hollywood Bowl. ¿Ya listos? Ok, aquí están los dos pendejos, Kevin y Frijol.
Wait a minute, I think I picked out a word there. All right, so if I understood what Omar was telling us, we're going to be playing songs that are Cure songs recorded by Spanish language artists. All you have to do is identify it by its English title, please. So what Cure song are we listening to in Spanish?
And you win tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bolo.
Apparently the Hollywood Bolo, right. Mm-hmm. So if you get it right, you go to the drawing. Let's see how this goes. It's the first time we've tried this game. Who's our first contestant?
Robert in Monterey Park. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hola, Roberto.
Hola.
That's all we got. All right. That's it. We're out. All right. Listen up. What Cure song is this? Say it again, Robert.
That's Friday. I'm in love.
Yeah. All right. Well done. You're in the drawing. One for one. Good job.
Remember yesterday when we got none? Yeah. Let's go to Edwin in Montebello. Hi.
Hi.
It's Edwino.
Edwino, sorry.
All right. Listen up. Here's your Cure song. All right, sir.
Just like heaven.
I feel like this game's a little easier.
I do, too.
Because it is the exact same song. Kathy and Pico Rivera. Hi.
Trina.
Hello.
Hey, Kathy. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Good luck. What's up? Pero es nada más. No habrá más luego. Pero esta noche quiero que te dejes llevar. That song is called...
Oh, Boys Don't Cry?
Sorry, that's Lullaby.
Thanks for playing anyway. Playing El Curo here on the Kevin Bean Show for Cure tickets at the Hollywood Bowl. Who's next?
Jim in Corona. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Welcome to Kevin E. Frijole. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Guy needs to learn how to emote a little bit, doesn't he?
Title of that song, Jim?
That was a horrible connection. I'm going to guess, only because I only caught the end of it. Fascination Street.
Sorry, that's a letter to Elise. I just take as much
as you can throw. We are one step closer to Musica, Musica, Musica today, you guys.
Steve in North Hollywood is next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Morning. This is El Curo. Here you go.
Cuando estoy solas contigo, me hace sentir tranquilo.
honestly, I could barely hear you, just like the last guy.
Take a guess.
Okay.
Anytime.
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. That was... Here's what I'm going to say about that one. That's a terrible cover.
Yeah.
Well, they slowed it way down.
Right.
That's why, that's
and
why it
changed the
different.
Actual tune of the actual lyrics. Okay. Let's go to Nathan in Menifee. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Here you go. All right, Nathan, what
boys
is it?
Boys Don't Cry.
Yeah!
All right, let's try one more, and then we'll give away some tickets to the Hollywood Bowl.
Vanessa in Los Angeles.
Yes! Woohoo!
Woohoo! All right, are you ready for your song? Here you go. Good luck. Mariachi feel there.
Sounds like a familiar melody. What song is that, Vanessa?
Oh my gosh! Hot, hot, hot!
Oh. No!
That's
right,
why can't I be you?
Right album, wrong song, but thank you for playing anyway. All right, so Nathan, Edwin, Robert, all in the drawing to win tickets for the Hollywood Bowl to see El Curo. Only one will win. Miss Ellen McKay, who's that going to be?
The winner is Edwin.
Edwin! Yay! Congratulations, Edwin.
Thank you so much.
You got the tickets. Thanks for playing the game. Enjoy the show.
El Curo at the Hollywood Bolo.
Our friend Brad Williams here in studio. If you follow him on Twitter, @FunnyBrad, then you are scarred as I am by him running around in his underwear with swords over his head yesterday.
Listen, ayahuasca is amazing.
What is going on, Brad? I never needed to see that much of you, son.
Well, it was a thing that Chris D'Elia did. My buddy Chris D'Elia did a thing called Real Dancing, #real dancing. And it's this dorky dancing to the Flo Rida song Our House or My House. And actually, your buddy Mike Catherwood did one
with
his wife, also in their underwear.
His was traumatic, but not as much as yours.
Well, I mean, so I thought, how am I going to up the game? And then I looked at my shelf. I'm like, I have samurai swords. This is how I will up my game. And then I just
Why do you have samurai swords?
You don't?
Yes, but I'm asking why you have them.
Well, for self-defense.
Okay.
Because I'm not a gun guy, because I'm worried about the recoil and just sending me flying across the room.
Right.
Sure.
So
that makes sense.
I have swords.
Samurai swords on a shelf that you can't get to?
I can get to it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think I told the story one time on the show, maybe like 4 years ago, but I actually used those. I used the samurai swords back when I lived in Orange County. Someone broke into my condo while I was there, and my alarm went off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh crap, because I know that this is what, like, no one's going to be coming over. So I got the samurai swords. I ran downstairs in my underwear.
Were you doing the dance?
Hell yes.
Yes, okay.
Hell yes. And then I see this guy, and he's trying to get the TV off the wall.
Wow. Someone broke into your house and is trying to rob you while you're there.
Yes.
Wow.
And so I scream out, like, get the F out of my house. And I got my swords. And he turns and sees me and just goes, what kind of messed up security system is this? And then books it. And I thought, like then I just started laughing. So I'm like, wow, this guy, in his mind, he broke into a house, an alarm went off, and then a midget with knives comes running down the stairs. He's like, wow.
And the apartment owner's still asleep.
Like some cover just came up, like, release the hounds.
That's fantastic. So that worked. So, I mean, having those swords paid off for you.
Yeah, darn right it did.
That's beware awesome. Of the midgets. They're taking over the world.
Yeah.
Brad, did you see the story? And I know we have a lot to talk about, but tell me you saw the story. The businesswoman from England who was on stage in Vietnam last week. Did you see this woman?
What?
She's there at a conference, and a little kid comes up to her and gives her flowers as a visitor, right?
Okay.
And she just thinks this little kid is the cutest kid in the world. He's like five or something.
Yeah.
So she picks him up and then realizes that he's a little person. He's 46 years old. Everybody was just laughing at her. She picks him up. She's think, I thought I was a little kid, and then I saw the nicotine stains on his teeth, and I said, wait a minute.
You're like, wow, they start him young over here.
Turns out he was a 46-year-old, fully grown, married man who was on stage with her. Has that ever happened to you where somebody has thought you were a kid?
I mean, not so much anymore because of the beard. But
that helps.
Is that why you grew the beard?
Literally, that's why. Because, like, I got tired of, and I got tired of being carded. You know, of trying to go into bars and, like, it hasn't gotten to the point where everyone's kind of, like, people try to pick me up, but it's not because they think I'm a kid. It's because they just think, well, this is what you do with dwarves, right? This is their custom.
I didn't get that memo.
No, you never do that.
I never got that.
I don't know what, like, why are all these, it's the weirdest stereotype that just people were like, oh, no, I pick you up. There was one time I went to the Sam Manuel Casino, and I was walking by some sort of promotion where they're spinning a wheel, and a bunch of and I don't know which, so I'm sorry, I'm just saying Asian because I didn't know, like, what kind, but whatever, they were Asian people, and they saw me and they just started rubbing my head. They just started
good,
like,
luck. I mean, that's good luck.
Yeah,
that's like, a given.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's science.
I don't think a hat. No, it's that's like a science. Buddha and a belly.
Yeah,
maybe if he had a paunchy belly. But
like, I don't know what it was. Where they're like, well, I'm about to play slots. Obviously, rub the midget's head. Then they'll get four pineapples or whatever. I don't know.
It does have to be a strange situation where people touching you is sort of okay with society because that's not true of any of the rest of us.
Yeah,
you
it's know like, what I mean? Like dwarf tossing is still legal in 4 states.
So, wow. Is it really?
Yes. So, if you substitute, you can go to my Instagram. I went on this whole rant because there was a strip club in Detroit that was, like, having a dwarf tossing tournament. And, like, because if you substitute any other race, anything else out for dwarf, like, they would not have that. Like,
right.
You're not going to do Chinese tossing where you throw a guy and he's like, I can fry. Like that's not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. So,
Michigan, one of the other 3 states.
I think it's Florida.
Florida.
Obviously.
Of course.
was there any doubt?
Nope.
What are the other states I'm not allowed to go to? Yeah. Because, like, I can't. I'm literally frightened that I'm going to land in one of these airports and someone's going to be like, oh, well, it's a dwarf, so this is what we do. Whee! Like, and just throw me.
That's pretty weird.
Brad Williams is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His new comedy special is debuting this Friday night, tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on Showtime. It is called Daddy Issues. Now, I got to be honest, Brad.
Yes.
We've known you for a long time, and we're friends, and we're fans of your comedy, and you always kill when you play April Fool's, and I knew how good you were.
Thank you.
Fun Size blew my mind.
Wow.
It was a great.
It was great.
Great comedy. I was so happy for you and so proud of you, and I really feel like that just busted you wide open to a whole bunch of Americans who had never heard of you before.
Thank you.
And I am now stunned that you are back so quickly with yet another all-new hour. This is very impressive.
Thanks. And
is it an all-new hour?
Yes. It's not going to be the same stuff with me wearing a different jacket, like, just trying to sell it. Like,
same background, fun size.
Yeah.
Why so soon, Brad?
Well, something happened in my life where it sparked so much material because of it, and it's why I call the special Daddy Issues. My father was diagnosed with a skin cancer that was very serious, to the point where he had to have part of his face removed. He had to go through radiation, he had to go through chemo, and there was definitely a time where my family and I were kind of all looking at each other like, is this it?
Wow, that does sound funny.
Yeah, so hilarious.
And that's how the show starts?
Yeah. And so, like, that happened, and then my dad beat it. He went into remission. I actually got the phone call that he went into remission, like, in Denver, Colorado, of the green room of the Comedy Works. I'm about to go on stage, and
so
I
put down the bong.
Yeah, and I get the call from my mom, and she just says he's in remission. I start bawling, and then the host yells out, "Please welcome the hilarious Brad!" I'm like, "No, not yet." So,
did you go on to stage crying?
Yes,
I would have. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else you could do.
And then
he's already sad.
Yeah, and then, like, I had to talk about it, and it was that moment where I had to talk about it on stage because you don't walk on stage, tears streaming down your face like, this is normal, this is good, this is how I start my show. So I had to talk about it, and it was that set off this whole thing in motion that got everything going and sort of made it all crystal clear for me. Because I had tried to talk about it while my dad was going through it, and it was too
tough,
close,
right? Yeah.
Too soon, and I couldn't do it. So then, and I got it really good, and I was really proud of it, and I'm way more proud of this special than Fun Size. And then when I actually taped the special, my dad was in the second row,
oh, awesome.
And I had never done this material for him before. We lock eyes at some point, and I lose it. I lose it in the special, and I thought that I was the only comedian ever to cry in a special. And then someone told me that Kevin Hart cried in one of his 27 specials. Oh. So now I'm not even the first midget to cry in my special. Come on!
Brad, I don't want you to give anything away, but
sure.
what did you find so funny about your dad beating cancer?
Well, I found it funny because of his attitude. His attitude was the attitude he raised me with, which is never be a victim. Never. Like, because for those of you who don't know, my dad's tall. There's no dwarves in my family, and he could have easily just been like, well, my son's a dwarf, his life's gonna suck. But instead, he taught me that, yes, I am different, and yes, I will be made fun of. So rather than have that victim mentality, he's like, no, when someone makes fun of you, you come back at them. It's that scene from The Untouchables, where it's like, they bring a knife, we bring a sledgehammer. Like, he's like,
you bring samurai swords.
Yeah, darn right. So, like, he would make fun of me as a kid constantly, but, like, he would do it and then say, okay, now hit me back. Hit me back
like
with
training.
Something. It totally was. Like, he was making sure that I was going to be a comedian. He thought it was just for, like...
So you were prepared to be bullied.
Yeah, first day of school. Laguna Road Elementary School in Fullerton, California. I was going to kindergarten there, and a kid just ran up to me while they were taking rolls, so the whole class is silent, just goes, ha-ha, you're little.
Did you beat his ass?
I looked at him and went, ha-ha, your mom doesn't live with your dad anymore. And just tears
you
started
said
going.
That.
Yeah, well, I live in Southern California. I had a 50-50 shot of getting that one right. So I did that. And
a comedian was born.
Yeah, and I got sent to the principal's office, and they called my dad and told him, well, your son's in the office. And he's like, I've never been prouder. He was so happy. So
sweet.
It was all that he went through and his attitude during the entire thing and how he wouldn't allow the family to stop and feel sorry for him while he was going through all this stuff that he was going through. And it was that attitude that just it just fueled so much creativity. And I was just thrilled that I could give this back to him. What a beautiful story that is.
Let me ask one follow-up.
Yeah.
Did he laugh?
Yes.
In the second row.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Just
going,
arms folded.
Nope. Yeah, he did. And we have this moment, and you have to watch the special to see it, where it was completely unplanned, where I saw him and started crying, and then I sort of give him a speech from the stage I didn't know I was going to give. And then he has this moment where he like raises his fist up and kind of pumps it. And then you fought? Yeah, and then we fought
and
to the
you
death.
Whooped his ass,
and he's no longer with us. He was very weak from the chemo, but he's kind of easy to take out. To be honest,
Brad Williams' Daddy Issues is the special on Showtime tomorrow night. More with our guest in a moment on K-Rock. Our friend comedian Brad Williams in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Brad, my favorite tweet from you lately was this one. May I read it? Because I was so
go
I
for it.
It so much. Air Bud seems like a great movie until you realize some poor kid was cut from the team to make room on the roster for a golden retriever.
You know, we were talking about that movie with me and my podcast partner, Adam Ray. And that just sort of hit me. Like, yeah, some kid in that movie has to go tell his dad, I didn't make the team. Well, who's on the team in your place? That dog
but
over there.
But in his defense, that dog can play.
He can really play. He's got a sweet jumper.
Right.
Oh, man.
You had a 1-2 punch on the podcast that you do about last night. Very funny podcast on iTunes. Who did you have? You had Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
And then you had somebody else. We had two guests that you were really punching above your weight.
Jimmy Carr we had on this Monday. We've had Dana Carvey on recently. We had Lamorne Morris from New Girl.
Love him.
Who's so good.
Love him.
Told this amazing story about Prince. When he was on New Girl and how, like, am I allowed to say this? I don't know. The Kardashians were there.
Yes, we heard this.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
The Kardashians were at the set on New Girl, and he walked in, Prince, and saw the Kardashians and was like, why, what are they doing here? And they're like, oh, because this is one of your parties, so the Kardashians would be here. Prince looks at him and goes, the Kardashians would never be at any of my parties. And then, boom, they're cut.
Had them thrown.
They're gone.
I love that.
It's, oh, I, like... as if we needed more reason to love Prince. Come on.
What'd you learn from Susan Sarandon? I don't even know where you start in an interview like that.
Oh, my God. It was, first of all, 69 years old, so full of life and with it and knows about young people and, like, what they're doing and just so in touch. And, Bean, you'll love this. Just, I mean, and Kevin, you'll hate this, but just gorgeous.
Just, oh, she is.
Yeah, just, she like, absolutely you're 69 is. Years old and you're like, what, they make you? That's amazing. And just so.
There are certain people that just aren't fair.
Yeah, and she's one of them. Yeah.
Like Helen Mirren. You just go, no way. Really?
Sure. It was just to be there. Now we could say that we've had an Academy Award winner on the podcast. So now nice. No one can turn us down. It's like when Mirren had the president. Like now who's going to say no to Marc Mirren? He had the president. Like, yeah, we've had Susan Sarandon. So you, road comic, you're going to say like you're too big for our podcast? Ha! Not going to happen.
Does that work?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Shame him into it.
It most certainly does.
Brad Williams' Daddy Issues airs tomorrow night on Showtime, 10 p.m. Where'd you film this one, Brad?
The Alex Theater in Glendale, California. About 1,200 seats. And
you kick out any Kardashians there in Glendale?
All of them. They were all... Glendale! Yeah, they were all there, taking up two rows just with their asses. And we needed that space.
How do you choose where to do it? Why'd you pick there?
Well, first of all, I know that I could sell tickets here, okay. And that's thanks to you guys, so thank you. And there was a lot of Kevin and Bean fans there, which I was so – it's always –
Thank you for saying that, but we give you the platform. You're the one that's funny.
Well, I mean –
So they come see the guy that's funny.
I do morning radio all across the country to promote shows, and then I go on stage and I say, hey, did anyone hear me on the, you know, the Chucklehead show this morning? And no one ever cheers. But when I go on here – and says, hey, so everyone hearing me on Kevin and Bean, the place just erupts. And it's awesome. And I love that your fans have that relationship with you guys, and they respect you and your decisions when Ralph decided to bring me on. Ralph brought me on.
We're still mad at him for
that. So thank you, Ralph Garman.
What's it like, Brad Williams, having your own billboard on Sunset Boulevard?
That's cool. It's really, I'm not going to lie, like, that's really
cool. Have you done the drive-by, like, 10 times in a row?
It's right by my house. Yep. So I go by it all the time, and then I did this thing where, like, I want to take a picture of it, so I get out of the car, and I actually took a picture of it with my dad, and we kind of recreated the pose from the billboard, and then there were people walking by, like, doing the math, like, looking down, seeing me, looking up, seeing the billboard, be like, hey, are you the same? Are you the same guy? I'm like, nah, completely different
somebody
dwarf.
Else, yeah.
Completely different dwarf. Yeah. So, and I know it's not going to get that many people to watch the special. And it's strictly an ego thing, but it's just cool. Yeah. Some things you're like, yeah, that like there's a Veep billboard, and then like there's a billboard for Documentary Now with Bill Hader, and then there's my billboard, and that's like that's awesome.
It's a hat trick of billboards.
Yeah, that's an awesome company to be in, and it's just sort of validation for all the hard work been put in all throughout the years.
I would just try to casually drive my friends by there and pretend I didn't know it was there.
I guess that is me.
That was there. Odd.
And it's nice that it's in Los Angeles because people in Los Angeles see it. Showbiz people see it. I got an email from Paul Feig, the director of The Heat and Bridesmaids and the upcoming Ghostbusters film, and he said, dude, great billboard. I'm going to watch the special, and that was so nice of him to do.
Wow,
so, yeah,
nice.
that was just – it's just a surreal moment where you're like, oh, yeah, other people drive on these streets too. They
other
use
people
them.
Can see it.
Like celebrities don't just fly or teleport to wherever they're going.
You should stand out underneath the billboard with one of those signs that you're flipping around that says, hey, look up. Maybe you don't need that. So that's your way of telling us – you're dropping names now. It's your way of telling us that you will soon be too big for the Kevin Abridge.
Never.
I hope so. When's your Christopher Guest movie coming out?
September. September 9th on Netflix. I don't know if I was supposed to say that, but whatever. September on Netflix. The movie Mascots is coming out where I play a mascot called The Worm. And yes, and I do The Worm. And that's literally how I got the part. In the audition.
In the audition, they said, do the worm?
No, they just said, all right, your mascot's name is The Worm. And then it's an improvisational movie, so they're just like, all right, do what The Worm would do. And I got down and I started doing the dance, and they're like, done. We don't – tell Dinklage we don't need him. We're going with Brad Williams. It's awesome. Can't wait for that movie.
All right. Anything else going on before we got to get out of here, Brad?
Going to China in June.
What? Going?
Like the country?
Yeah.
China.
That China?
That China. Yeah. The billion people. China.
I don't know very much about China, but is it possible that dwarves are revered as gods there? This would be the greatest thing that ever happened to you?
So it could be like that scene from Return of the Jedi where all the Ewoks just start praising C-3PO.
Right. Exactly. How did that happen?
They get YouTube in China, and they started they're devouring American stand-up comedy.
Oh, they are?
They love it. So I'm not even going to a military base. I'm going to clubs. I'm going
You're
to normal.
You're playing for the people.
Yeah, I'm going for the people of China.
And
I'm going to go
they
there.
Do understand English?
I'm
to
hoping.
Ask a stupid question.
I'm hoping, or else this is going to be a really long hour that I'm up on
just
stage.
Be looking at you.
Yeah, I'll just be doing funny dances, I guess. I'll juggle. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
You always do the worm. That works.
Yeah, it got me a movie role. It'll probably get me killing in China. So I'm
How
really
long
excited.
Are you there? How many shows?
I think it's 5 shows, and I'm there for a week, and I'm going to like a bunch of different cities, like Shanghai, Beijing, and a bunch of cities I cannot pronounce.
Wow,
and,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Have you talked to any other comedian friends of yours that have gone there?
Yeah, my buddy Steve Simone, who's a really funny comic. He went there, and he's told me like it's great.
He's excited about you going. He's not going, hey, watch out.
No, it's not like when we went to Brazil, Kevin, and everyone sent us videos of people getting shot in the streets.
Yeah, it's not like that at
all. Not like that at all. And you know what? I'm gonna go to China. I'm gonna do some shows. I'm gonna get an iPad fresh off the line.
Sweet.
You know what I mean?
Right?
It's gonna be great. Love
when
this.
When are you going, Brad?
A couple weeks. I do the Brea Improv the first week of June. And then the week after that, I go to China. So that's it might be my farewell tour. Who knows?
That's cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Are you stretching it out so that you have some time to look around? And
I have one day.
Oh, that's and, enough.
You can see China in a day.
Yeah, totally. It's not that big, right? It's like the size of Rhode Island, right?
Well, congratulations, Brad. I'm glad things are going so well for you, man. No one deserves it more than you do. The new special looks fantastic. It's called Daddy Issues. It airs tomorrow night on Showtime at 10 p.m. Go see you and drive by Brad's billboard.
Sunset and Fairfax.
Sounds great, man. Good to see you again.
Thank you, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
We'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome from the Jim Rome Show coming up just after 8. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
We live in magical times, people.
Because?
Well, first of all, Trump.
Right.
Oh, yeah. President Trump, sure.
President Trump. But now that the CW has adopted Supergirl. Head of the network, Mark Pedowitz, talked about the fact that since she is joining the network that already has several established DC superhero successful programs, how about this for a crossover episode? Arrow and The Flash and The Legends of Tomorrow and Supergirl.
Too much.
Not enough.
Can't keep it straight.
All the goodness.
Here's the thing about Bean's opinion. He doesn't watch any of those shows.
That's true. So it's really irrelevant what Bean thinks. But, come on. Just imagine what our superhero crossover episode is going to look like come December, he told reporters. Our biggest one ever. This is special.
Okay.
Can you imagine?
We're excited for you.
You're not excited enough.
You don't know, man.
Supergirl hanging out with Adam, Hawk Girl and Hawkman come by. Pick up Arrow, drop him off at the Flash's house. Come on! We live in magical times.
The CW comic book show that I watch and love is iZombie, and it's not in that universe. So we don't get any of that crossover action over there.
Then pipe down.
Okay.
Then less opinions.
You're not one of us.
All right.
Leave this to the grown-ups.
Okay.
They've been doing Arrow back and forth a lot.
Well, Arrow was the one. Then Flash originated on Arrow, was a spinoff from Arrow. Then Flash became the number one rated show on the CW. And Flash and Arrow spun off Legends. And Flash and Supergirl have crossed over. But we've never seen a Flash, Arrow, Legends, Supergirl.
It's going to be pretty strong.
What we're going to get.
I miss Gossip Girl.
Oh, stop it. Kanye West, back in the news.
Guilty.
I'm sure he is of whatever there is, but not in this particular story. He was on Ellen DeGeneres yesterday. She's starting to become
Satan's little helper.
Is she?
Ellen DeGeneres, yeah.
What?
Why is that?
With her Bieber interviews and her Kanye interviews and that, who was that little dwarf British girl she kept hanging on there, was singing with her sister, evil...
Yeah, I'm not sure
children.
What that's all about.
Yeah, I get my baby back, or whatever she would say.
Right,
just
yeah,
awful.
I know who you're talking about. I have no idea what
she
you're talking
out
about.
She brings out another little kid, like, oh, what do you do? I'm going to interview you because I'm a child.
Oh,
stupid.
You leave him alone.
All stupid,
he's magic.
Evil stuff.
Okay.
Ellen Jennifer pretends to be, oh, I'm your pal. Look at me. I dance. But really, Satan's little helper.
I don't really watch Ellen.
You're saving yourself from Satan's little helper. Kanye West was on there talking about his life, his career, just bringing the magic like he does.
Sure.
Ellen asked him a question I think that we all have asked at some point regarding his tweets.
Yeah.
His fascinating tweets. I thought this was interesting.
Everything you tweet, you think, even have you regretted anything that you've tweeted?
Nope.
Nothing. Never. You don't go, maybe I should have thought about that a little longer?
What's the point of thinking?
What's the point of thinking? Well... Sometimes, I understand, but sometimes there is a point to thinking.
Listen to people. Woo! Right? Yeah, no thinking.
What's the point of thinking?
I'm with you. No thought.
Who's applauding that?
Who's applauding that sentiment? That thinking is for losers. Kevin.
How dare you?
Then Mark Zuckerberg. Remember he famously asked Mark Zuckerberg for $53 million?
Right.
You need a little cash.
Asked on Twitter of the Facebook founder for the $53 million.
Yeah, that point was not lost on Ellen.
And then you tweeted out that you wanted Mark Zuckerberg to give you $53 million. In hindsight, should that have gone on Facebook?
Yes.
Yeah, he admitted that much. But why did he need the $53 million? What was he looking for? Kanye said he needed some backing because, well, he's special.
I feel that if I had more resources, I could help more people. I have ideas that can make the human race existence within our 100 years better.
Nope.
Period.
Period. He can improve the human race if he had $53 million.
That.
He could improve the entire human race. He could make our lives better for the next 100 years.
With holes in it?
Well, Ellen asked for an example. I think it's a fair question.
Give me one example. Just get what the idea is, because maybe somebody watching will give you the money.
Well, we're in a renaissance period. We're in a place where people are like multidisciplined artists, like Steve McQueen that directed 12 Years a Slave. He was considered to just be a photographer, but then he won an Oscar. When that's in a place where people can only have one career, one profession throughout their entire life. So the exact amount of emotion and color palette and sonics and everything that I put into my music, I put them into the shoes. And they worked.
Shoes.
So the hell is he talking
about? He's going to change our lives with shoes. Because it's about time somebody invented something that would cover our feet when we're walking, that would keep them protected.
I think those are shoes.
What?
Yes.
Someone beat
yes.
him to that idea?
Yes.
I hope he got the patent.
Wait, that was his answer to give us an idea how you're going to change the world for people?
Yes.
Shoes.
Shoes. Huh. He went on to say that he's contacted the president of Payless. I'm not kidding.
What?
Not kidding, because he wants to be able to share his shoe ideas with everyone, regardless of financial ability to pay for his high-end
you
stuff.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
So, Zuckerberg.
Wow.
Charbroiled! You missed out on the chance of a lifetime. You could have been the man who funded the shoe guy.
I just feel like when it's a rich guy saying, if only I had more money, it's because you're Bill Gates and you're trying to, you know, wipe out malaria or something. I thought that's the way he's talking about improving the world.
How many people have malaria versus how many people wear shoes?
Well, that's
true. Great
point. Thank you.
Kanye does look smart now.
What? I got one word for you, Benjamin, for the future. Shoes. Put all your money in shoes.
He is magic, Ralph.
You have no idea. It's about an 8-minute interview, this one section I was looking at, and there's so much I could have brought you. He talks about, look, he is the Michael Jackson of clothing, he said, because he's going to break down the door for all the other people of color who want to make clothing who aren't allowed to now.
Okay.
He said, Walt Disney, dead. Steve Jobs, dead.
Right.
Who can you think of who's alive, who's worthy to be mentioned with that company?
Just him?
Kanye.
Yeah. Oh, just Kanye. Okay. Mm.
So, he's magic. And he says he doesn't care if people think he's wacko Kanye. He's ahead of the haters, and we always point the fingers, and we try to pull down the ones
who are the most genius.
So he's practically Jesus.
Right.
Okay.
He's Jesus. It's right there
he's
in
Jesus.
The name.
True. I forgot he was Jesus.
It's true. Today's celebrity birthday is Peter Mayhew, 72 years old. Today's George. Hey, Chewy. George St. Pierre is 35 years old. And Sam Smith, the songster, he's 24. Ooh, the songster would be a good villain on that crossover episode with all those superheroes.
The meddler?
The meddler.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursday mornings about this time, we always look forward to catching up with our friend Jim Rome from The Jim Rome Show at jimrome.com. How are you, sir?
Dudes, good morning. What's up? What's cracking?
Great to talk to you. As always, there's a lot going on in the wide, wonderful world of sports. Why don't we start close to home, and how excited should we be for the Los Angeles Lakers to have the number 2 draft pick? And will it make a difference, as many problems as they've got on that squad?
Why don't we start right there? Let's get real. The Sixers get the number 1 pick, but the Lakers won the lottery. I mean, to understand exactly what this is about, guys, like take Mitch Kupchak, the GM. Mm-hmm. It's like he's the guy that stood in line at the 7-Eleven for 3 hours to buy a Powerball ticket, except he's been there for the last 3 years waiting on that ticket. 55 losses, 61 losses, 65 losses. Can you imagine, and keep this in mind, if they did not finish in the top three, they would have lost that pick. Waiting in line for 3 years to lose that pick because they traded for a 38-year-old Steve Nash 4 years ago. Now, there is no way the NBA was going to let that happen. Thankfully, the percentages in that strictly legitimate lottery process worked in their favor. So my advice to them, do not be like that dope who goes broke 2 years after winning the lottery because they just did. It's great.
How much of a difference does it make whether you get, Brandon Ingram, is that right? And Ben
is
Simmons.
Is it what's-his-face or what's-his-face?
Right, those are the 1 and 2. And I understand they're both forwards, but how much of a difference does it make to the Lakers which one they get?
I think they're pretty similar. Personally, and this is just me kind of bumping my gums, I think that Ingram is a better fit for them, but Simmons is the flashy guy. He's been hyped as the number 1 pick ever since he left high school. You know, he's that sexy pick. At least he was until he missed the NCAA tournament, and he had some academic issues. So it's going to be easy for the Lakers. They're going to end up taking whoever Philadelphia doesn't take. I think either one of these guys could work out. But personally, I like Ingram a little bit better. I think the guy's a better shooter. I think he's more, quote, NBA ready.
Is that all the Lakers need to turn it around?
No.
Are they
in a word, no.
Are they going to do anything else?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to. They're going to have to. If it was very important that they get that pick, so now they have that. And then there is a small discussion about, well, should they trade the pick? I wouldn't do that. The thought is you trade that pick, you get a vet, it costs a lot of money, it sucks more salary space, cap space. So I think it's the right start, but they still have to get a major free agent. They still have to make a trade. They have more work to do. This pick in and of itself is not going to fix what's busted up.
We were talking yesterday, I think it was off the air, Jim, on this show, about how glamorous are the Lakers now? How attractive are they to people around the league if they wanted to trade for a superstar? It's still Los Angeles, right? People still want to move here and play for the Lakers, even though they've had a couple of bad years, right?
Well, I think so. But they're a little bit beat up now, right? They've got some miles on them right now. They're not what they used to be, or you wouldn't have guys like Dwight Howard saying, I don't want to stay here, and you wouldn't have A-list free agent type guys saying, I don't want to be there. But now it looks a little bit different. They've got a new head coach, and you know, as great as Kobe Bryant was, I think that might have been a slight deterrent to some guys to come in because he's not the easiest guy to play with because he's so demanding. So yeah, it's still a glam spot. People still want to be here. But until they get that one A-list free agent to say, I'm all in, and others follow, I think there are some questions. It's a little cougarish, you know? It's a little beat up.
The Lakers are cougarish.
That's what I'm saying. You know?
I hadn't thought of it that way. All right.
Think of it that way.
Let's talk Steph Curry for a minute. I feel like we have you on every 7 days, and he has created another half hour of insane highlights, whether he's hitting nothing but half-court shots in warm-up or throwing the ball and then turning his back, not even watching it go in. Every single night, this guy is putting on a clinic and doing things I haven't seen before.
Yeah, there's so many things that were so awesome about that last night. You know, he's kind of got this thing where, hey, there's Steph. He's so cool, and he's kind of a nice guy, and he's laid back, and he's got that cute little daughter, and he's just out there throwing up 35-footers. But that's not really who that guy is necessarily. I mean, he's all that, but he's also the guy that was mean mugging in Serge Ibaka's face. And you see when he went in the stands and he came out with that third elbow last night? How nasty was that? Did you see that, Allie?
It was just a puffed up extra elbow.
It was a puffed up extra elbow.
You're welcome.
The guy was dropping five threes with three elbows. And by the way, Golden State fan, you think maybe if the MVP is going into the stands, maybe you help that guy, maybe you catch that guy?
Yeah.
That'd be like the lead singer going for a stage dive and everybody getting the hell out of the way and letting him break his face.
Yeah, little help. Little help, right? So he's had problems with his legs and now having problems with his arms. I'm pretty nervous about the injuries he's had at his age.
I think it's going to be all right. I mean, early in his career, he had some ankle injuries, and he worked through that. And then he had the knee, and that was kind of a fluke. I think the guy's going to be fine. And as far as that elbow, I mean, we'll see how that plays out. He says it's not a big issue. There's no great range of motion. But the guy was out there jacking up 35-foot shots and knocking him down. I think the guy looks like he might be kind of fragile, but he's way tougher than he appears.
Yeah, and mentally, you have to be a beast to play like that.
You have to. And that's the thing. That the win was so big because the win was big, but the beatdown was even bigger because they got their mojo back. They got their swagger back. I mean, the fact is, if they lose that game, honestly, that series is probably over. Yeah. And late in the first half, that was still very much a game. But then Steph started doing Steph Curry-type things. They go on that run. And that's a different barn when he's clicking.
We're on with our friend Jim Rome here on the Kevin and Bean Show at jimrome.com. One more thing real quick. Again, I know we're out of season for football, but since we last had you on, the new Madden was announced with Gronk on the cover. There's no such thing as a Madden curse anymore, right?
There's no such thing as a curse, period.
Period.
There's
okay.
No curse. There's no curse. I'm not one of those superstitious guys. I don't believe in a curse. Hotels aren't haunted. There aren't ghosts. No, I don't buy that at all.
413, you're good with, right?
Yeah, I love it.
I've heard you talk many times, though, and it always cracks me up about the NFL players who are really upset about their rating in Madden.
Like that's different than the curse.
Right,
guys take that stuff very seriously. Very seriously. I mean, think about dudes and their numbers, athletes and their numbers. They ink their numbers. They wear necklaces with their numbers, and they all know their ratings. But then what do these guys run on? Fuel. They need to know that they've been disrespected on some level, and then they go and they ride that fuel hard. So they know it. I think that is real, but I think it's much ado about nothing, if you ask me.
You know, as long as John Madden himself personally has been out of the spotlight, it's amazing to me that Madden is still such a big deal. Does it continue even beyond the coach's life?
Good work if you can get it. Good work if you can get it. I mean, how great would it be to go to the mailbox? Well, you guys know this. You guys could probably do this yourselves.
Yeah.
How great would it be to wake up in the morning and know there's like $100,000 waiting in your mailbox and you did nothing but nap it out for 8 hours?
That's pretty awesome.
I want to be that guy.
That's
so awesome.
Us every day.
Here, just use my name on some video game. I'll go to my mailbox every day, and there'll be stacks of cash inside.
It's good a good
for
deal.
Good for that old guy.
Yeah. All right. 3 hours of sports talk with our friend Jim Rome from 9 till noon. Check it out at jimrome.com. Have yourself a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
See you guys in 7 days. Bye.
We're soaring through my atmosphere.
Hey!
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah. I didn't even know there were jingle bells at the end of that song until just now. That's kind of crazy.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. Don't forget, tickets in the second row to see Blink 182. You can win them coming up at 9 o'clock, and then we'll catch up with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky. Ralph, I'm glad you're here because you have been on fire since the incident in the kitchen yesterday, and I think it's time to lay down some rules.
It's madness. And
Coffeegate 16.
And I won't stand for it any longer. And I think people started to get the message. I think I'm rattling some cages.
Oh,
because yesterday our boss came in and very sheepishly he was holding up his cup and said, "I made more coffee." So I said, "All right,
you can live."
I got the big man nervous. I know people are hearing the message.
So what happened was refresh people.
Well, it's just a pet peeve of mine because it is the epitome of willful rudeness to your fellow coworker. It's anyone who goes into a community area like the kitchen, and then we have a coffee maker there. And people, 3 times a week it happens to me, I'll go in there to get some coffee, and the pot will be empty, and it's still warm, and I can tell that someone had come in and drained the last of the coffee from the pot into their cup, and then had to, at that moment, say, you know what? I know other people will come in here for coffee, and I should make another pot before I leave, but F those people. That's what that decision-making process is like. It is the most purposefully rude act that happens to me here at work. Sometimes you can write people off and say, well, they probably just got absent-minded, or they forgot, or they didn't flush, or maybe they, you know, maybe they're parking too much over the line, so I can't get into a space. I mean, there's lots of things you can just write off as just sort of negligence. But this is a willful act of F you, next guy who comes into the kitchen. And I'm the next guy. So they're saying, F you, Ralph. That's what they're saying on a daily basis. And now,
heads are going to roll.
He is a dick.
Right?
What?
No, not the person who did it.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Person who did it is a
That's
dick.
Why
yeah.
I leave a tiny little sip in there. Just a sip.
Which is almost worse.
That way I don't have to refill it.
That is even worse.
I'm just
saying, I leave an ounce in there, but I really didn't empty the pot. At least there was still enough in there for a thimble.
By the way, our topic this morning is we want you to call in and add to the list of bad office behavior or workplace behavior that should not be tolerated. We're basically putting it out there so that everybody can hear, oh, I got to be careful not to do those things because those things really tick off everybody else.
Because we're a society, right?
We're people.
There
right,
are
exactly.
other people here.
We're a civilization. This is a microcosm for how society has to work. And there has to be a modicum of decency that you extend towards your coworkers in order for the whole ecosystem to keep functioning.
Exactly right. So 1-800-520-1067. What's the workplace behavior that you would like to put on the list so that nobody else does it? And I think about this. I think about this all the time, Ralph. I mean, just
in your
just,
workplace, Bean. Do you?
No. Just something as simple as you go to McDonald's and you realize that 20 people have just gotten up and left their trays on the table. You know what? That's not a way to run. That's not a way to exist. You dump your trash and put your tray away when you leave. It just makes things move more smoothly and better for everybody.
That's rudeness, but it can be excused away. By someone's wrong-headed thinking, which is, I'm a customer, I've paid for this, there are people in the employ of McDonald's whose job it is to clean up. So it's rude, I wouldn't do it, but you could see where maybe there's an out there for someone who thinks that way.
I leave just like a half a fry on it, just that much.
But I can't All imagine right. the thought process of someone who will not make a pot of coffee for the next person who comes in there after they have used the coffee.
What about if I were to give to you as an example of poor workplace decision-making, somebody who monopolizes the office toilet for 3.5 out of every 4 hours? What if I had that guy standing to your left, Ralph?
Here's
How
what
dare
I know.
You?
Here's what I know. I was starving. Was it earlier this week or yeah. last week? Starving, and Muggs usually goes and gets food. If one person's hungry, that's the rule. We go get food. Everybody eats. Everybody's happy. Couldn't find Muggs. Where is he? Don't know. Dave, where's Muggs? Don't know. Can't find him. Hasn't been here in 10 minutes.
He disappeared.
15 minutes. Where's Muggs? What's happening? It's in the middle of the show. 20 minutes.
Now we're concerned. Now we're notifying his parents. We're looking local emergency rooms.
We literally are sending someone out to the parking lot to see if his car is still here. Because think maybe there's been an emergency.
We put an Amber Alert out. Remember? We put an Amber Alert out. It was in all the freeway billboards.
So in strolls Muggs, all happy as can be. And we're like, where have you been? Ben!
And looking pretty light on his feet, too, if I recall correctly.
Muggs?
Muggs, where were you?
I was doing the number two in the nice bathroom. Look,
he is a dick.
How dare you? I understand.
Okay, but let me ask you a question.
Yes.
First of all, who can do that for 20 minutes?
He right. didn't believe it was that long.
I didn't think it was okay. that long.
Second of all, mm-hmm. you don't have any kind of internal clock where you go, I'm at work yeah. and I have a job to do, so I know it's been 15 minutes.
Maybe I can't enjoy a leisurely trip to the bathroom the way I would
but
at home.
But I'm going to stay here for another 10. Nothing yeah. in your mind goes, hey, I should maybe move this along or step out and go work for a second and come back. Nothing.
Maybe I should urgently offload right. and then get right back to my particular job.
Or break it up into like 5 minutes of every hour, maybe
right.
something like that
right.
is the way to go.
Do a shift poop.
Had I known, Kevin, that you were...
No. It doesn't
it's
matter.
It's not
if I'm
about what he wanted you to do. You're here to do a job, right?
I know.
Didn't you think, regardless if I'm hungry or not, didn't you think that we have a show going? Were you listening to the show? It's on in the bathroom.
Not in the bathroom I'm in.
Oh, you went to the bathroom that doesn't have our station.
The executive bathroom. Executives don't like to listen to us, so they have to make sure that there's no radio piped into that.
But there's no internal clock in your head that just goes, wow, I have a job, I got to get back.
Not at that moment there wasn't.
You must have really been enjoying that poo.
But Muggs came out, I kid you not, Muggs came out in a smoking jacket and he had a pipe. And I looked inside the bathroom and there was an ottoman. He had his feet kicked up on an ottoman while he was in there.
A couple of magazines, a few books.
It looked like a library. He had volumes of literature there that he was perusing.
It's probably not the best use of my and CBS Radio's time.
Oh, really?
But
that's the conclusion you're coming to now?
But I had to make sure that everything was clean and everything was...
Oh, my God.
Take it easy.
Okay. But you could have had your whole body waxed in that time. Coach Wilkie tweets at me, in Beer Mug's defense, it's a meme of Elmo sitting on a toilet. Boss makes a dollar, I make a dime. That's why I poop on company time. So there you go. That's the answer. All right, Muggs, why don't you go answer some of these calls?
All right.
Go. 1-800-520-1067. Let's make that list of workplace etiquette, okay? The things that people do that they shouldn't do. That's what we're talking about next on Kevin and Bean.
You got a lot of support, Ralph, for that that coffee pot faux pas that
people
are making.
It's willful evil.
So if you drink the last cup out of the pot, it's your responsibility to make a new cup. This Thomas writes in, says, "Don't you guys remember the commercial? You killed the Joe, make some Mo."
No,
I don't remember that.
No,
I remember that.
It was Terry Tate, office linebacker.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly what it was.
Yep.
I also got, as we prepare to go to your calls here at 1-800-520-1067, I also got this P.S. from Kevin Bean Lister, Ready Made, who says, in reference to Beer Mug and all the time in the bathroom, "Come on with the come on." Also about not installing a new roll of toilet paper when it has run out.
You know what? That is the coffee pot of the butt.
It is. It's the coffee pot of the butt.
It's the exact same
what about
mentality.
The people that also just put it on top of the roll? Like, what is going to take you so long to actually unhook the roll and put it on there? Give me a break.
It's about a 5-second job to install a roll of toilet paper.
Oh, and the roll should go over, not under.
Okay, take it
a whole
easy.
Nother, that's a whole
that's
other
a discussion
right.
for them.
All right.
Day. All right. Let's, wow, we got some good ones here. Where do you want to start? Why don't we start with Ken in Calabasas? He's on line one. I don't know that everybody will be on Ken's side for this one. Hey, Ken.
Hi. Long time listener.
Thank you.
We have a thermostat issue in the office.
Thermostat issue.
There's a girl that loves it cold.
Right.
Always cold. And the bothersome part is she will have on, I'll say, 3 layers of clothes.
And that's offensive.
So,
I think you're missing the point, Kevin.
Now Kevin's angry, too.
And any time anyone else would adjust it to warm it up, she would be back up there to put it cold.
Mm.
This lasted about a year. She left, and then a bizarro employee came in and had it always hot. And she would come in and it'd take off.
You sound like a troublemaker to me.
It's not Ken's fault.
I don't know. Kevin. Ken was there for the cold. Ken's there for the hot.
Right.
Common
Ken's
denominator.
Never happy.
Ken. All right, Ken. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it, sir. Let's try Catherine. Costa Mesa, please. Line two. Hey, Catherine.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. A lot of people are very passionate about this topic. What's driving you crazy?
This is the worst. We had a lady who for 2 years had microwaved eggs for breakfast and fish for lunch.
Oh, she's the worst.
That's a tough one-two punch.
Put a note on the microwave saying, please don't cook things with lingering stink. Then it became an HR issue that we were attacking her choice of meal.
Oh, my Lord.
And she went to HR.
I hate her.
Oh.
This is why China's crushing us in business right now. Because we're wasting time on fish and eggs.
I will say fish, eggs, and broccoli should never be in the microwave.
Throw
those
cauliflower
are
in the mix, too, by the way.
How about, people would think we had a plumbing problem all this time.
Right?
So what do you think that lingers? Any smell
how about popcorn,
lingers?
You guys? What's your ruling on popcorn in the microwave?
Well, if you can take it out in time that it's not burnt,
right, don't
fine.
Burn it.
As long as it doesn't burn.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, you don't need to eat popcorn at work. Go to the freaking movies. You're at work. Just eat your meal and
now
shut
you're
up.
Judging
unless it's fish.
Unless it's fish. We need some nice, odor-neutral foods.
Thank you, work. Catherine. Great call. All right, let's try line six, please. Pico Rivera, let's say hello to our friend Mario on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mario.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think that the worst person is the freaking person that only eats half of a donut. And puts it back in the box.
Yeah. What about that?
I
do that for comedy's sake, but you only take one bite and then you put it back.
Yeah,
to be funny.
That kind of person, they need to be fired immediately. Because you're either on the bus or you're off the bus. There's no in between.
So eat the donut or don't.
And let's lump him in with the handlers, with the donut handlers. The one who's picking it up, everyone up to take a good close look at it and what's on there, and then putting it back in the box after they put their stank all over it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't touch somebody else's food. Right.
Right. Also goes for the bagel eaters and the pastry eaters.
All right, Mario. Freaking pastry eaters are the worst.
Crazy. That's going on the list. Great call. Thank you. Culver City up next. Line 7. It's Natalie.
Hey, Natalie.
Hi. Good morning.
Workplace etiquette.
All right. So I work in an open office environment, so no cubicles.
Mm-hmm.
And I have someone that sits right across from me that clips his fingernails.
Nope.
Oh, no.
My Lord.
Clipping any nails, not to be done at work.
No.
Guys, exactly. That's the number one email I'm getting this morning from clipping multiple nails? Listeners is people who are cutting their nails at the desk.
It what? Is so, it's disgusting to hear. And there's 10 fingers. You hear 10 clips.
And you know they're not all going on the desk. Those are flying all over the place.
You're getting shrapnel.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It's really, really gross.
That's a slippery slope because then the foot comes up on the desk, right?
All right. Thank you for the call, Natalie. Let's squeeze in a couple more. Let's go to line 4, San Gabriel. This is going to be Gabby.
All right. Hey, Gabby.
Hi. Good morning.
What drives you crazy at work?
Okay. I have several issues, but the one that bothers me the most is noise pollution. I sit outside 2 offices with some really, really loud people who always take their calls on speakerphone and scream into the phone all day long.
Oh, why so doesn't anyone tell them to stop doing that?
Pick up the handset.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. I mean, it's been going on for years.
Maybe they're too busy clipping their nails hold the handset. That's why they have to use the speakerphone.
Maybe, yeah. But it makes it really hard, and we're not allowed to put earplugs in. So we just have to kind of wait until they're done talking and then keep on with our work.
That does seem like a close-the-door kind of thing if you're going to be on a speakerphone that loud, I would imagine. Yeah. Right? Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Dear Kevin and Bean, I have a coworker who constantly eats sunflower seeds, not just in his private office. He walks around the office talking to people all the while sucking and chewing and spitting into a cup.
Oh,
sweet
it's
Jesus.
Absolutely disgusting.
Let's go to Dave.
Where all does right. Dave work?
I don't want to work there. Dave in Los Angeles, this is maybe the worst thing we've heard.
And maybe a unique problem to you, Dave.
What's happening?
Dave, what's happening at your work?
About a year ago, mysteriously, we had some folk leave a poop on the floor of the bathroom rather than in the toilet.
Oh, come on.
We had that here. You guys
that has
that?
Happened at K-Rock.
Yes, it has.
We had it at KTLA in a trash can.
Really? A mystery pooper?
We know who it was, but yes.
Who was it? Was it you, Allie?
Oh, it was not.
Okay. Dave, this happened more than once?
This happened more than once. This happened about 3 times, it was kept hush-hush. It was dealt with. Letters went out that basically said, hey, listen, this is not appropriate behavior.
That is so funny that a letter had to go out to say that.
Guys,
don't poop on the floor.
Let me ask Dave and let me ask the room. What's going on with that person who poops on the floor? What's happening? What's the message there?
Ask Sam Rubin. He was the one at KTLA.
It's absolutely
Sam. You know it was. It was so Sam Rubin.
It wasn't.
It's either someone who's disgruntled or
gruntled.
Possibly we have some outsourced. Foreigners who maybe that's not the
norm. Oh,
what? Trump.
What's going on here?
Donald Trump.
All right, let's just roll back the tape to where Ralph said
they
it was Sam Rubin. And
right.
Then
the foreigners come in and they poop on the floor. That's just the truth. And I know a lot of poops. I got the greatest poops in the world.
This text came in that says, bad office etiquette, listening to nature sounds of birds chirping at an impossibly loud volume.
Yeah, that's a nightmare.
Close the window.
Right?
Hey, wait a minute.
So. 106.7 K-Rock is... I think that would have been a good one.
Yeah. Would have been.
It's the world-famous K-Rock. It is 8:54. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's new? What's happening? What's going on? What's the latest?
You know me. I'm not a fan of the country music.
Right.
Per se. But it does seem to me that the country artists seem to be the nicest artists in music. Generally.
I think you have to be... in order to get played in that format.
Really?
I think they do not tolerate divas. They just won't play you if they don't like you. It's very much that kind of a business where it's about relationships and being nice to people.
Because it seems like you always hear about some country artist doing something nice for somebody or stepping up and doing the right thing. You hear about very little sort of acting out and craziness. Occasionally, Randy Travis will be running around nude in front of a church where he crashed his pickup truck. But for the most part, they seem like the hockey players of music.
You know, hockey players are like really good to the press, and they do interviews with everybody, and they seem to keep their nose clean for the most part, and they just don't seem to get in much trouble compared to other major league sports. I feel that way about country music. And there's another story coming out about Garth Brooks, who seems to be one of the nicest guys in show business. He shocked a fan at his show in Grand Rapids, Michigan last Thursday by bringing her backstage for a little chat and to meet his wife, Trisha Yearwood. But it got even better for this woman, who's a teacher. She went home with a few life-changing presents for being the 4 millionth ticket to the couple's tour. They're touring together.
Okay.
And for the 4 millionth fan who bought a ticket to that tour, they gave a special secret surprise.
Okay.
Reward to. This is, again, this is a woman who's a teacher who is struggling, you know, like a lot of teachers do. They don't get compensated well. So they gave this woman a Corvette, a brand new red Corvette.
Okay.
A brand new Jeep Cherokee.
Okay.
$5,000 in cash. Invited her and her family an all-expense-paid trip to Las Vegas. And when they found out about her student loans, paid off all of her student loans.
Oh, man.
Just for buying a ticket to a Garth Brooks show.
Just for being a loyal fan to Garth and his wife, Trisha Yearwood.
Huh.
That's
above and beyond, right?
Yeah.
No need to do that. It wasn't like a sweepstakes where they said if you buy a ticket, you might win something.
No, they got the concert. I'm sure she was happy.
This woman was just motivated by her fandom for those two people to go see the show, and they rewarded them, representative of all their fans, and the 4 millionth ticket buyer got this.
Sure, like I need to start buying tickets to country music.
Right? Because who knows? Apparently there's money in it.
I'm not going to go.
That's it, but as soon as there was cash and prizes.
I have friends that
the country music is so good.
Right.
I have friends that work at Staples, and they cannot say enough about Garth Brooks.
Really?
Just
one of
the kindest, most humble, nice people, and will just take care of you above and beyond. And this is just another example.
Who's a bigger star, too? Who could be more of a dillweed and get away with it?
Dillweed.
than Garth Brooks, but he doesn't abuse that power.
Right.
Which is admirable. Then we got your Kim Kardashians. Then we got the other side of the spectrum, Kim Kardashians.
It's the opposite side of the coin?
You know, I've pretty much sworn off Kim Kardashian stories, but this one was just too good to deny. Officials at the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corporation, this is a security organization in Iran, are convinced that Kim Kardashian is an American spy.
What?
Yes, she's a secret agent for America.
She's not that cool.
What?
Can you imagine what kind of shape we would be in if Kim Kardashian was one of our secret agents?
But Ralph, who would believe it? Maybe it's perfect.
Maybe it's genius.
Oh, right.
It's the perfect cover.
Right.
They claim, the government of Iran is claiming that she was recruited by Instagram to target young Muslim women and force them to ditch conservative traditions and lure them into a life of modeling.
What? Wait, what?
That's right.
I thought you were going to say, you know, prostitution or something.
Modeling. Showing off the goods.
Hmm.
Yeah, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard says they're taking this very seriously, and they are going to investigate this rumor.
What are they
going to
do?
And there's financial support involved as well with this investigation, so they're going to look into it. So
it's ridiculous, and I hope they bring her down.
I do, too. I hope there's some sort of black ops mission where she has a hood over her head and she's thrown in the back of a panel van for some questioning that needs to go on. And I'd like to apologize real quickly at the end of this showbiz beat. This comes from one of our favorite listeners, Edwin, who writes, "So yesterday, Kevin assaults us with Sam, the Armenian comedian.
How dare you? That was a gift.
Today, Ralph pays what sounded like 20 hours of Kanye West interviews blathering on and on. I may be off on how long the clips ran. I blacked out about 10 seconds into it. Can we please cleanse our palate with some songs by the legendary band ABC?"
No!
Edwin writes. Well,
no!
Luckily
yes!
For Edwin,
come
it is
now.
It is Instant Request Thursday.
It's not anything of the sort.
Hit it, Steve.
What's happening?
When your world is full of strange arrangements and gravity won't pull you through, you know you're missing out on something. Well, that something depends on you. All I'm saying, it takes a lot to love you. All I'm doing,
okay.
You know it's true.
I think
you nailed it.
All I need now, there's one thing, yes, one thing that turns this gray sky to blue. That's the look, the look of love. That's the look, the look of love. That's the look, the look of
what's happening?
Love.
Look at love, asshole.
Oh, come on.
Ralph Garman.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Jonathan McNair from Pomona. You are going to be in the second row to see Blink-182. They, of course, are playing September 29th at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater, also September 30th and October 1st at the Forum. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. But Jonathan doesn't have to worry about that because he's already got him in the second row. Keep listening for your chance to win. If you were at the Dodgers game on Sunday night, you saw our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky. Once again, his tour of singing the national anthem at major sporting events continues. How'd it go for you, Doc?
It was a lot easier than the Kings game, I got to tell you. Something, you know, you don't realize how the elements of the actual production affect you. The flag is way out in the outfield. I get to have my back to the audience. So I'm sort of singing to myself. It was way easier than the Kings, where they put you in the middle of the
in the middle of the ice, yeah.
And it's shine a spotlight on you. That was insane.
But I would think you did it really well. Did it go as well for you at Dodgers Stadium?
It seemed a little, I don't think vocally it was as good. Kings game is like singing in the shower. You know, you get all the echo of the room, and singing outside is a little tougher.
I was wondering about the delay because a lot of people get on mic at a stadium and they don't realize how long it takes the sound to come back at you. And that can really screw you up.
2 seconds. Is it literally one thousand?
Oh, man.
And wow. But they have the in-ear thing, and I just turned the volume up on that and tried to ignore it.
So are you done now, or are you going to try to continue and try to do all the major sports?
All the major sports?
Well, I'm saying, like, should we look for you at a Rams game this fall, you know?
Well, that would be fun. That would be fun. If KBC becomes the home of the Rams, then I will definitely be doing a Rams game. But I imagine I'll do the Kings next season since we're at Mike and I are still there at 790 KBC every day. So,
All right. Well, listen, we got a mushroom story I want to talk to you about, but just real quick because I just saw this cross my desk, and that is that you are on the board of advisors for an app that I am unfamiliar with. That is called Heal. That seems to be what? Are you trying to get people out of going to urgent care for every little thing? Is that what this is about?
That's one piece of it. The way to think of it, it's literally Uber for doctors. You sign up. Or within 1 hour, they guarantee you a doctor at your doorstep for $99 or what your insurance pays plus a $30 copay. And that's it. And the doctor spends as much time as he or she wants. You can do physicals. You can do emergency visits, whatever it is, pediatrics. It's phenomenal. And
are you kidding? That sounds too good to be true.
It is almost too good to be true. And so I met with these people, and I was like, well, you know, you must have – who are these people that you have doing the work? Well, they're highest quality physicians who are really happy doing this because they don't have to mill through doctors in a clinic, through patients in a clinic, and they really enjoy doing the work. They're better paid in this environment. It shows you how ridiculous our systems are that they can come up with this high-quality operation that can be at your doorstep within an hour, and the physicians spend, on average, 30 or 40 minutes with the patient.
Yes, Ralph.
I just had to step in because I had no idea you guys were talking about this, and I had no idea Drew was involved. But just this week, my wife called Heal. The doctor came to the house.
The one he's talking about.
It was amazing, Drew. It was a remarkable experience.
Yeah.
The guy who showed up was a grad from Tufts University Medical School. Yeah. He was the nicest, coolest doc. Showed up. My wife had a bad earache and ear infection and throat problem. And rather than go to urgent care, she said, I want to try this app I had heard about. So we called him. He was there within an hour, gave her a full workup, prescribed some gave her some antibiotic ear drops for her, and in a couple of days she was fine. But it was the best, one of the best medical experiences we had ever had.
Can they bring prescriptions? Like, can they bring Z-Pack?
They got to write them. Well, okay. This guy did anyway.
I mean, but you know, Ralph,
yeah, you just hit the propofol button, and then they'll bring that over.
Right. Ralph, Percocet.
Right, I got
so happy with it.
Right, I got a Loxy. It was a good visit.
So Dr. Drew, does this automatically just work with insurance companies, or is this something you're going to have to fight with your insurance company because it's new?
Most insurances in Los Angeles accept it, and they are happy to do it because it unburdens the system. It really is. It's crazy how easy this is and how much it is a solution. Think, Ralph, if you had gone to tried to make an appointment with a doctor, find a new doctor, go to an urgent care. You're talking about hours and
urgent care
work and misery. Then you push a button and a quality physician shows up at your door. And by the way, that doctor can keep coming if you want. He or she can become your physician if you wish. This is ridiculous. When I really looked into it, I was like, oh, this is it.
Well, Drew, that was the problem. My wife looked to get to an ear, nose, and throat guy, and the earliest appointment she could get was like 2 weeks out.
Think about that.
And her only other option was an emergency room or urgent care. And then
and any of those options you just mentioned would be five times the expense.
Easily.
Even if you were paying cash for the $99. I mean, I work with another organization that does massages for $90 for an hour. It's the same proposition. It's ridiculous how inexpensive it is. It's ridiculous when you really look at how efficient you can make this. It's just insane, the systems we have.
And this doc took our insurance. It was nothing. It was like a $25 copay or something, and he was in and out.
I don't know, this sounds too good to be true.
In the comfort of your own living room to be examined, it's worth twice the price.
Is there any way to find single doctors?
Oh, stop.
Is that like a swiping?
But hang on. Coming soon. It's a new app.
Yeah,
I wouldn't doubt it.
Dirty docs.
Physician-der.
Physician-der. Yes.
So, Dr. Drew, you must get pitched all the time with people who want you to endorse something or be a face of something, right?
And you just
liked everything about this, and you thought, hey, why not? Right? Helps the patient.
Well, I don't be the face of this either. I'm just sort of a technical advisor, and I'm sort of somebody that's just involved with the organization. And if they want me to go out and talk about it, I'm happy to. But I'm not, marketing it or something. But I was so excited about it, I'm happy to talk.
Pull some shifts, Drew. You should just show up at random people's houses.
Well, Drew needs to
start getting called to people's homes.
No, but why not? I'm quite able to do that. I was thinking I might do some of it just so I understand the physician experience as much as the patient experience.
Well, I have.
What if you opened your door and it was Dr. Drew?
Yeah. I have several lady friends who would pay $99 to get Dr. Drew to come over to their house. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen. Now we're out of time, Dr. Drew. But I'm so glad that you told us about this Heal thing. So it's just an app in the App Store that we just download for iPhone and Android, right?
Yep. HEAL, or go to gethealed.com either way. And it's all there.
I feel like I'm going to get a janky doctor. I feel like somebody's going to show up smoking out of their neck. And it's
I got to tell you guys, I was afraid it was that when I first heard about it, but I promise you it is not. Now, if you don't like that position, there's other ones you can actually choose.
I'm Dr. Muggs. Thanks for calling me. All right. Go to drdrew.com or adamcarolla.com for their great podcast together. Don't forget, Dr. Drew is on HLN Monday through Thursdays at 4. And as usual, Midday Live with Mike Catherwood on KABC AM 790. Have a great week, Doc. We'll do it again next time.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
That was good.
Okay. All right. Yeah. My microphone on. Can I participate in the show?
Why am I the only one doing that?
Can you do two things?
Nope.
No, I can't.
Say hey and also turn my microphone on?
Apparently not.
I guess not. I cannot.
Hey, Chip.
Yes?
What's going on with your little pals in The Offspring? Are they ever going to make another album?
I'm sure they're working on one.
Okay, I thought you might have more insider information than that. Okay, all right.
Back to you.
Let's let Ralph handle the news, maybe.
Sweet.
What's going on here, Ralph?
Deep cut right there.
Well, I just figured she hangs out with
you
those guys.
You figure a lot.
She might know what's
you figure
happening. Wrongly
most of
I
the time.
So. All right.
Hey, this movie, Alice Through the Looking Glass, looks awesome. Sequel, of course, to Disney's wildly popular Alice in Wonderland. Johnny Depp returns as the Mad Hatter. Mia Wasikowska returns as Alice. Anne Hathaway's back in there. Helena Bonham Carter. Alice returns to Wonderland and travels back in time to save the Mad Hatter. Who plays time in this movie? Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, all right.
It's loaded. This movie is loaded.
Was he in the last one, too?
No, he was not.
All right.
New addition to this film. If you'd like to see it, we are having a very special screening of the film at the IMAX headquarters on May 25th. IMAX headquarters has a brilliant theater there, as you can imagine. It's IMAX, so it's an amazing IMAX 3D screen, and that's how you'll be seeing the film. We're going to have a screening there, and the movie's in theaters everywhere on the 27th, so you'll get to see it before your friends. So, Alice through the looking glass, get a pass, go see the movie today.
What's happening?
I'm not sure.
Terrence Trent D'Arby? Nothing?
Oh, was that Wishing Well?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
It wasn't.
Hold on.
Alice Cooper.
I gotta get my ass up here to kiss it. I forgot.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, there it is. All right. Call me now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. And you'll be going to Alice Through the Looking Glass if you're one of the first five callers through at that phone number. Bean must be very sad. He was pre-sad. Now he's probably actually sad. Tomorrow I'm guessing he'll be post-sad. But we're just talking about this guy, Morley Safer. Morley Safer, veteran of 60 Minutes, who just retired last week. Here's the moral of the story. Don't retire.
Never retire?
Never retire. Can I hear that clock again?
Sure.
But then stop it partway.
And then the clock runs out. Just like it did for Morley.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster.
It's kind of crazy that he signed up just days ago for his last time on 60 Minutes.
I mean, what's that about? Did they know he was sick and that's why he retired? Because he was too ill to continue? Because they certainly didn't share that.
Let me check my text from everybody at 60 Minutes.
They certainly didn't share that.
Someone get Mike Wallace on the phone, please. I want to know what's going on.
He preceded Mr. Safer.
They would actually know what's going on, but we can't reach him.
Yeah.
That's a real bummer.
He was 84 years old, legendary broadcaster, had a long run on 60 Minutes. I want to say 46 years, I think?
Yes, he started in 1970, correct. Yeah.
But, Bean, aren't you the guy that wants him to sign off and then die? Isn't that perfect case scenario
for
you?
That's your Vin Scully maneuver, as you call it, right?
I felt like he was too young to die. I wanted him to continue on the program like Mike Wallace did right up until 90.
Yeah. Well, I guess he got out just at the right time.
Sure did. They've lost, it's been a rough few years for 60 Minutes. Because remember, they also lost, what's-his-face.
Right.
He was, one of our favorites.
Huge impression on us. Not Mike Wallace, no. The young one who died.
Face. Right.
Simon. Something.
Steve.
Jesus.
Steve Jesus.
Jesus.
Steve Jesus.
Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about. The young one who got in a car accident.
Clark Bohemia.
Simon. Something Simon.
Simon
Pegg
says.
Simon the Pieman.
Simon Pegg.
No, it wasn't.
No?
That.
Charlie Manson.
Simon Stagg.
You guys are the worst. Just saying.
Simon Simmons.
Been a lot of turnover on that.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Bob Simon. Cowell. Thank you. Bob Simon died last year.
That was hardly worth the wait.
He was a great 60 Minutes correspondent.
Good.
Been with them for a lot of years.
Excellent.
Also was on the CBS Evening News a lot.
Flavor Flav!
He wasn't Flavor Flav.
No, should have been.
And Ed Bradley.
Of course, Ed Bradley's gone.
Sure.
He's gone.
He was our mayor.
Right. He's got that international air studio, international airport
terminal.
We're the worst.
Well, I think only one of us cares a lot about this.
Yeah, so everyone's just half-assing it at this point. No,
one more tomorrow.
Come on, it has to be.
Just the one more.
It's got to be right Friday.
Now.
Come
just
on, you stop that right now,
asshole.
No report, no comment yet from Morley Safer's replacement on 60 Minutes, Leslie Dangerouser.
Didn't think you were going to get to use that joke again so soon, did you?
She took over for Morley after he retired. Morley Safer's replacement, Leslie Dangerouser.
No comment from her, though.
No comment yet from her. We're still hoping to hear from Leslie Dangerouser.
It's not too soon for that kind of comedy, right?
It wasn't last week.
Nope.
I don't think it is
he
now.
He was still alive last week.
Oh, good point.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm just excited that the CW has announced now that Supergirl has joined their ranks over there on the Superhero Network. They are in talks and in pre-production on an Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Supergirl four-way crossover.
Hey, doesn't that sound wild?
It does sound wild. Just couldn't be happier. Come on. We've already seen Flash and Arrow. We've seen Flash and Supergirl. We've seen Arrow and Legends. We've seen Arrow and Flash and Legends. But now we're going to see Arrow, Flash, Legends, and Supergirl.
Boner.
It's a superhero four-way. Right?
Boner.
I'm in.
And more than four-way, because the Legends are like a six-way. So it's like a ten-way. It's an orgy. It's an orgy of superheroes.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't be more excited. And I do want to let everyone know, in the wake of the Morley Safer news, a lot of people are concerned about the health of singer Bobby McFerrin.
I'm
I'm sorry.
I just want to let all the Bobby McFerrin fans, because, you know, you're worried about people dying. It's sad news because Bobby McFerrin had to cancel all of his concerts for this year. His management says Bobby's not feeling well and has a medical condition that will now not allow him to travel. He hopes to reschedule those concerts for 2017.
Don't do it.
But for all the Bobby McFerrin fans out there.
Yes.
Don't worry.
Right?
Don't worry.
Right? Right?
Be happy.
Be happy.
Sit down.
Oh, Lord.
I just want to say, today is the greatest day of my life.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Peter Mayhew.
No, you stop that. You stop
really?
That. It's
sure?
Only Thursday.
Peter
I
Mayhew,
feel like another day.
72, Georges St. Pierre of the UFC is 35, and singer Sam Smith is 24. Hi, I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, remember to listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on K-Rock. It's a random act of helpfulness from the so-called helpful Honda dealers.
Who is it?
Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have a brand-new Internet Roundup. We've got the Movie Beat. We have tickets for the L.A. Galaxy. We've got The Cure. And we've got front-row seats for Blink-182.